Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good morning. This is Dr. Cappuccino. Hello, Cole here. So if you hear some raspiness, hey, it's all about making sure that we're on this show to give the best of best. And we do see quite a few callers on the call. Thank you so much for tuning in. We really have an excellent day because right now we have several issues going on in our world. And one of them is that we have truth. There are the most justice for this. But is this really the answer to the chaos in Iran? We have one of our previous members that is on the show, Dr. Harrison. Are you with us?
Yes, Dr. Cappuccino. I just tuned in. Good morning to you.
Oh, very good, very good. Well, you know what? People are waiting and biting at the bit to hear what you're going to say today. And I'm so happy you've been able to be on the show three times in a row.
Thank you.
So our topic is you on the move of justice. Since you are just tuning in, it's just the answer. The worldwide chaos that we see in the land of Utah and the Mark worldwide. They're investigating their elders. And there's been a young lady that was on national live televised TV calling President Trump a piece of shit. And so, I mean, people are saying, oh, my God, you know, we want to support our youth, but we also want to make sure that our youth know exactly what they're talking about and that what they're talking about is going to be beneficial, not just for youth and the millennials, but for those living on the planet. So right now, I think I want to let the world know that you are an author, Colonel Harrison, your former chief of police, and all callers that call in are always talking about you after the show. And we really want them to hear wisdom and common sense methods of combating the rise of hatred and self-deprecation in the world, something mostly caused by the youth. So are you ready to give us some answers? Dr. Harrison,
Dr. Harrison. Yes, Dr. Cappuccino, and good morning to you and your listening audience. Please state your question again about the youth.
Well, they're on the move. They're talking about justice. They're marching for justice. They're saying they're going to get justice, especially in light of the 17 children youth that were killed recently. They're in Florida. They say they are going to get justice. They say they're going to do everything they can in their power to make sure certain organizations are shut down. Do you think they're on the right track?
Thank you for restating your question, Dr. Cappuccino. With regards to the youth, it's good that they're concerned about things that are happening, especially the tragic Parkland, Florida shooting. It's good that they are mobilizing because we have the right to do that under the First Amendment of the Constitution. However, there has to be some guidelines. Let me just briefly say that youth will be able to gather experience from those who have mobilized in the past, specifically adults. I still think there's need for youth to cleave to adult guidance and direction when it comes to mobilization and demonstrating with respect to their cause, whether it's Parkland, Florida, or some other catastrophe that happens in the country. Youth have to be tutored, they have to be trained, they have to be taught, because there are certain principles that have to be handed down to them that those who are older or elders know that they can help the youth in their efforts. It's good to have the youth energy, it's good to have youth participation, good to have their involvement, but they certainly need some indoctrination, some teaching, and so forth, and otherwise, the youth will go out just randomly on their own and might not be able to accomplish whatever their goals and objectives is without some specific leadership guidance and plan by adults who have done this before and who are advocates for peace and nonviolence and so forth.
Very good, Colonel Harrison. But I think some of the listeners might be interested in hearing your answer to this question. Do you think the youth have been brought up and taught in the home as well as school the sound way of leadership and learning about leading their life? Let's get back into the family part, though. Have they actually been taught from their youth up to address some of these major issues that are facing America and the world at large?
I found from my experience, Dr. Coppentino, 38 years as a law enforcement veteran, and I'll answer it that way, and then I'll move into another arena, is that the decline in our society, the morals of our society, is impacted by the family structure. In other words, the family now seems to be more fragmented than it ever has been in the history of mankind. I believe in equal rights and equal liberty for women and all of this, but the youth now, some parents are giving them computer games and other gadgets to play with at home to occupy them rather than interacting with the youth. And a lot of the youth have not been trained up properly with proper morals and values and so forth that will sustain them, help them, and keep them as they grow and reach age 18, the females, and 21 years of age, the males. So our problem we have is a breakdown in the family, number one. And as a result, youth tend to go astray, get involved in gangs, and then commit crime and so forth and so on. That's my law enforcement brief spin on that. Ministerial view, the youth have to be trained up by the parents. The parents are responsible for training up their youth. Not only does the law of the land hold the parents accountable if the youth are under legal age, but also morally they are held accountable. And we can't expect youth to become young adults and intelligent adults without some teaching, without some structure, without some love, without some nurturing. And so that is missing. And as a result, all of our youth don't have access to certain things that will help them in terms of family structure, in terms of education, in terms of going on to college and so forth and so on. So there's a void between the have and the have-nots with respect to our youth. But the breakdown is in the family, and that's the foundation where the youth should be trained.
Yes, I believe that too, and I'm sure most of our listeners do, but we don't see that. There's a running around of mental mind saying that it's a gun that's at the root cause of all our problems. It's that bad government that's at the root of our problems. It's those that are in office, it's politicians that are not stepping forward. You know, I've been hearing, and I'm sure our listeners have all sorts of excuses, but I think no one is looking back into the home to say, you know what, all of this trouble, all of his trouble, all of her trouble, and the chaos there in the schools caused by so-called bad kids, it's because there's nothing going on at the home to really cause them to want to look at living in a world in a sane manner, in a manner that's going to produce good leadership skills later on, because most of these people are going to be reaching these young youth. They're going to be reaching for office as well, and they're going to be our future leaders. So with that in mind, what do you think should happen in the home rather than blame what's going on outside of the home for issues that should be handled in the home?
Within the home, there has to be a structure, whether it's a single family, single parent head of household, or whether there's a mother and father in the home. There has to be certain values, certain morals taught to the youth at an early age, and certain principles taught to the youth between right and wrong, good and bad, good and evil. The family has to nurture the youth, love the youth, let the youth know that they are loved, tell them the reality of life, the do's and the don'ts, and the things they should not do to embarrass the family's name. And so we are missing those things because we're living in a technological age, and while technology is good, technology is only used as an adjunct to that which we do, but we need to use our minds. So absent the parents interacting with the youth, the showing love for the youth, teaching and training the youth in moral principles and values, that youth going to continue the struggle, that youth going to cleave to outside people who are devious and deviant, and they're going to get involved in trouble, they're going to have a brush with the law, and some are going to go to prison, some are going to die, some will probably be killed, and it'll be a waste of life, and they will not accomplish their objectives that they were truly, I believe, born for. So it's on the parents. The parents got to do what they got to do. The school system is not to legislate morals. Police is not to legislate morals. The family, the mother and the father from the home that youth come from, whether a child is adopted or whether the child is born in that home, they have to take responsibility. They have to show love and care for that kid. And if they don't, the kid's going to go astray. And so it goes back to the mother and the father and the single family head of household.
Well, Colonel Harrison, I would want to get into a home, say they're either an organization that is in operation to help the family structure, such as our peer DPSS, you know, to administer counsel and to go in to make sure with a welfare check everybody is in the home okay and alive. Do you think we need to see more of this going on in our major cities, our smaller cities, having actual people from office go in and do a welfare check?
There's a need for some people to acquire, solicit, or apply for public assistance. But my understanding, it wasn't designed solely for that purpose. It was designed to help people get on their feet, families get on their feet. Once they got on their feet, got a job, got some stability, then that assistance should have subsided or should have ended. I don't believe that we should become dependent upon the government to take care of us, those of us who are physically able to work, whatever work it may be, whatever we can do with our minds, with our hands, we should be able to do that because the principle I was taught of a man doesn't work, he doesn't eat. So the handout can be destructive because it also affects self-esteem. And if someone is constantly giving me something, I'm going to expect them to give it to me and not go out and try to get it on my own or earn it on my own. And there are many organizations who will help structure vocational training for those that want to go to academic schools and so forth, to help structure families and give them leaders, give them leadership, give them counseling, and show them where they can get off the system and get some viable training and jobs and so forth. So I believe in the free enterprise system. I believe in our system of government, but we shouldn't rely solely on the government to sustain and take care of us through the welfare system wholeheartedly.
Mm-hmm. But do you think, Colonel Harrison, that since we don't want to really reinvent or recreate the wheel, do you think since the various departments that are in charge and in operations to help some of these families that do have issues with getting the job and getting food, you know, like you mentioned, you know, the welfare system, they already have a way of getting into the home. But do you think maybe we can use, we should be able to have someone lobby to have these organizations actually do welfare checks where they actually not just be responsible for seeing that they get a check and some food stamps, but actually be able to go into the home, talk and counsel in the home, and make sure all in the home are okay. That includes these youth as well. I was just thinking in terms of using a broader sense of some of the groups that are in operations now claiming to be there for public welfare issues and means. Do you think in some manner or some way we need to look at having those type of welfare checks go out into homes to possibly catch chaos before it gets out of hand by a youth? As a law enforcement officer, former, I'm asking that question.
Yeah, I think the social services agencies should perhaps change their direction. I think they should become more home-oriented in terms of visiting the home, as you posed the question to me, Doc, checking on the family, seeing what the family need is and so forth and so on, doing assessment and so forth. And I'm sure some kind of assessment is done, but I think that assessment has to be ongoing. It shouldn't be just periodical or just one time to get the family into the social service assistance structure. So we need to change our social services programs and move it in a different direction to get in there, interact with the families, and refer them to training centers where they can be trained, where they can see, and after that, job placement and so forth and so on. And if there's a need for the check to sustain them up to a certain point when they complete that training process and then refer it out for a job, that's fine. But beyond that, I don't think there should be a total reliance. And I'm saying that because there are opportunities that they can seek jobs, but they have to apply for them too. So you have to get people acclimated to the fact they want to have the desire to go out once they got the training and apply for a job to work to earn their pay. And so the social services direction and the approach to that, I think, should change. So we should lobby for a change in that regard.
I think so too, because, you know, some of these youth are holding meetings around the globe with adults who may or may not have their best interests at heart, and that is actually pushing them to get involved in issues that they're not really schooled in. For instance, there's a group in one state that is already pre-registering youth to vote, and we know that they're going to slant that counsel that they give them as to who and who not to vote for. They're already riling them up. So really, to me, it sounds like this is something sinister, and that's something that really should be looked at. But then, you know, initially, you mentioned that our youth should be counseled as future leaders of our world. What kind of counseling would you recommend? 38 years in law enforcement.
The counseling I'm suggesting be a realistic counseling. In other words, it'll be a life counseling approach. Counseling, teaching them the principles as it pertains to the reality of life. They are not mature enough, their minds are not mature enough to understand the dynamics that are involved in life in general. But they need to know that they need to become responsible. They have to work or should work and do something legal and not illegal with their efforts, with their hearts, with their minds, or with their training. In essence, I'm saying the counseling has to be more life-oriented rather than do's and don'ts. So we have to show them through an infusion of scenarios, life experiences, and give them projects pertaining to life experiences, and let them have mark situations, let them interact in that, and let them know it's just life is not simple, it's challenging, it's trying, but they can survive if they get the proper structure and the proper training, the proper love, the proper nurturing, and the proper interaction. And so that's just my belief. A lot of kids are naive, and they get out here and they become consumed with gangs, become consumed with organizations that can brainwash them easily because of their lack of maturity.
Wow. You said a lot there. Well, why do you think adult organizations are just turning the reins over to our youth, saying, yeah, get out there in front of TV, get out there on the streets and march, get out there and call the politicians dogs and tell them you're going to have them shut down? What do you think of that? And the adults are actually responsible if something would go awry with their way that they're choosing to go about making change in our world.
I'm opposed to that because, again, the youth are not mature enough. Their minds are not mature enough. And they need to have the foundational principles of organization and leadership and social skills, and those things come with life experiences, and most of us acquire those things once we pass youthhood and we're into early adulthood. That can become very damaging and very dangerous give youth access and turn certain responsibilities over to them when they're not able to handle it. That's a prescription for a disaster, in my opinion. And they'll get frustrated, and they're subject to not only turn on themselves, but turn on the adults who told them that they could do this. So we got to be very careful with that. And we got to, the principles that brought those of us who are adults to where we are, I'm suggesting we use those same principles for our youth. Don't rubber stamp. Don't give them no free lunch. Teach them social skills. Teach them principles. Teach them values. Teach them morals. Teach them how to interact with each other. Teach them leadership skills. And teach them how to love one another and their elders.
Well, that sounds like a very good approach, because some of the information coming down through the pipes in the news is saying that some of our youth have never heard of the great leader Jesus Christ. They never heard that name. They've never studied that. You have some of the youth there, right there in Florida, that have never set foot in a religious institution. What do you think religion should play in the lives of our youth? I know that's a touchy-touchy situation, a conversation to start, but what role do you think religion should play in our youth growing up?
Well, I think it's more of a fiber without regards to denomination or religious affiliation or belief. It's the foundational principle that teaches certain morals and values to youth. And I'm suggesting that we look at religion holistically. And the idea behind it is not only to have a faith that one want to believe in, or a supreme being one want to believe in and trust in, but also to take care of those who are among the least of them, the widows, the orphans, those who are down and out, the homeless, those who have been abandoned, the elders, and so forth and so on. So the book I study says, my people perish for the lack of knowledge. So the knowledge begins with teaching those religious principles that will keep people, that will hold people, that will sustain people, and that will encourage people to help one another and love each other without regards to race, color, or creed.
Yeah, now there's a lot of churches that are saying they don't want young people in that church. They don't want the millennials in there in the church. They're afraid of them. They're saying that they are risking their operations of service because they claim the youth and the millennials are coming in there trying to tell them what to say and how to say it. And some of the youth that have not been taught are in their midst. What do you think about a situation like that?
I think it's deplorable, Doc, because we all started somewhere. I recall as a child, my mother, a gracious lady, took all seven of us to church. And so we were taught certain principles and values to close the door to anybody that would give them structure and give them information and give them encouragement and allow them to fellowship and interact with each other in a positive way is really ridiculous and it's absurd. No one closed the door on many of us who still believe in whatever faith and religion or denomination we believe in. And so the cornerstone of most communities is really a community synagogue, a community church, a community temple, or a community worship place. So we have to open the doors, let them in, help them, encourage them, show them, teach them, and then they'll be better citizens once they reach the age of responsibility. To close the door to anyone is a mistake. And that's why we're having the decline and we're having the problems in our society we're having today, because perhaps doors are closed to those who should have been open to give them teaching, instruction, encouragement, and love.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, many are saying that the church is responsible for a lot of the problems in our youth and what they're doing and how they're running their lives. I don't understand how that could be. What is your take on that? Church blaming for the problems in the world.
I differ with that, Doc, because if you don't bring the child and the adult doesn't bring themselves into a church, whatever church it may be, then how can you blame the church when you don't even attend, you don't support, you don't believe in the church. Using the church as a scapegoat is a disgrace. It's not the church, it's the people. People make up the church, whatever church it may be. And so if they're on the outside and won't come in, you can't blame the church. Blame yourself. The church is there to help give structure and to help encourage and help support and help sustain. But if they won't come in and won't bring their children in, then the children will learn the principles out there in the outer world, which is what we're experiencing now. Chaos. The opposite of peace is chaos. And that's where we are. We're living in a society of chaos because everybody want to blame somebody else, or somebody want to blame the organization, want to blame the church. Come on. We got to blame ourselves because we're adults, and we need to get our children in a church environment somewhere to help them with their upbringing and their structure and their direction and their guidance in life.
Well, you just mentioned the church environment. What is the environment in today's American church? Many are closing. Many are not opening as they should in certain areas. I understand there's some cities now that don't even have a church. That's how bad this thing has gotten. What do you think is the cause of that? Or is there any truth in it at all?
Well, there's a fable, or there's a rumor, or there's a false belief that the church is not relevant in present-day society, 21st century. I absolutely disagree with that. The church is relevant. The church has sustained past generations, present generations, and it will sustain future generations if people allow the church to be involved primarily in their lives. A lot of people are not willing. The book I study says there is a way about a man that seems right, but the ends lead to destruction. So without moral direction and moral guidance, which you can get from the churches without regards to the denomination, the people perish. The people turn against each other. And that's what led to the fall of many, many societies before us. And so I'm an advocate of the church. I believe in the church. The church is being used as a scapegoat. And it's not the church, it's the family structure. And once the family return to church, church can help the family, strengthen the family, strengthen their youth, help them become responsible citizens so they can go out and fulfill their intended purpose in this life and be law-abiding and wonderful creative citizens.
Well, Colonel Harrison, you've also written a book, and one of the words of the title of that book is chaos. In about 30 seconds, can you give us a little background on your book that you've written and whether or not youth can benefit from that?
Yes, Doc, the title's The Answer to Civil Unrest in the Land. Again, the opposite of peace is chaos, and the book goes back to mobilizing for peace in the 1800s, and it comes forward through the turbulent 1960s, and it was where the citizens were against the police. Police was against the citizens, but also there was racial discord in there and discrimination and racism and so forth. So the book indicates how we all can come together without regards to whatever race, color, creed. We can work together in our communities, work together with the police, which is the front line of defense, and how we can make our communities wholesome, make them safe, and we can have a peaceful society, reduce crime, and have an improved quality of life. So the book covers those principles of how we can achieve and accomplish that. And it's good for youth, it's good for adults, good for law enforcement, good for civic leaders, and it's good for politicians.
Thank you, Colonel Harrison. We've enjoyed you on the show. How can our callers, and I see many, how can our callers reach you? Very quickly, we have 40 seconds to go. How can they reach you?
Yeah, so email whajri1943@aol.com. And on the World Wide Web, just International Platform for Peace, .org, and they can access the International Platform for Peace website, and I'm also on Facebook, just under William Harrison of Maryland, and Temple Hills, Maryland, and they can access me that way. So I thank you so much for the opportunity to be on the show again, Doc.
Thank you so much. Okay, callers, we'll see you next Saturday, Same place, same time. Have a great day.